Welcome to Leaders Upgraded, the place where people who want to upgrade and fast track their career, their life, and their leadership journey tend to gather. I am your host, Tanvi Gautam, and I shall be speaking to the top 10% of the world's leading authors, CEOs, coaches, and thinkers to bring you some of the best and brilliant ideas to fast track your way to success. Would you like an upgrade? Let's do this.
Before we start this conversation, and as all of you know, David is the author of the book called A Year Off, a story about traveling the world and how to do it. He's also a chief marketing officer, so he's not one backpacking hippie who we were trying to learn from. He is very much a part of the similar sandbox that we all exist in the corporate world. But I want to share the backstory of what's happening right now. So I am sitting here with no power. Talk about leadership in the world of disruption. We got our timing wrong a few times, but we haven't given up. So hopefully this will happen without too much problem. So I say a prayer, all the technology angels gather here and hold this space while we try and get this done. So David, let me begin by asking, you took a whole year off and you were already working at that point in time. Whatever triggered you to do this? Because there, right now as we speak, there are hundreds of men and women sitting in their cubicles dreaming of escaping to the world outside. And I would love to know how your journey got started.
Thanks. I think that, I wonder if it kind of, I sometimes think the whole kind of taking off and leaving sort of started even before my career sort of kicked off. But I did what I felt was sort of the right thing to do through most of my career. And said, okay, I want to pursue something stable that's somewhat aligned with my interests and like kind of a logical, like, I want to be a responsible contributor to the world and I'm just going to follow whatever door is open. And I'm a passionate person by nature. And so that type of non-passionate approach was a bit incongruent just with kind of who I am. And so work really was work, but some parts of it weren't. I mean, some parts of it were great. And there's always things that you find that like you really love about, you know, what you're doing. But me in the traditional corporate, you know, cube, as you mentioned, I had a maroon cube when I started. It was like a lightless box that was just really dark and not my favorite place to be. Like a part of me and started having things that I felt should have been more satisfying. A part of me was saying, okay, I'm not really that interested in like what I'm doing. And my satisfaction has been just really disproportionate to the corporate success, right? I should be feeling this way based on sort of these achievements that I've worked so hard to get.
Yeah.
But the way I actually feel is a little bit kind of lackluster about it. I'm more passionate about all my other hobbies. And yeah. So I was really kind of a question of like, well, what do you care about? You become very good at working at things you don't care about and excelling. Like, are you any good? And do you want to spend the rest of your life doing that? Or do you want to try to be good at something that like, you like doing in some way, shape, or form? And I really didn't know what that was. And the only thing that kind of came to mind that didn't seem like a perfect answer, but was travel. And I always loved travel and I hadn't done it forever.
I tell a lot of my coaching clients that success and happiness are not always correlated. So a lot of people are in the corporate world. They're hitting the milestones, they're getting the markers, but something's kind of missing, right? And I think what I loved about your story was that you didn't sit there and say, oh, well, such is life. What you gonna do, right?
Right.
Take a year off and travel. So tell me, what were some of the fears that first came up? Did you have any fears as you were like, okay, you know, what were those?
I was so not cool. I mean, I think most of how I felt was fearful. whenever I left, I think I was afraid of everything. Just that I wouldn't be able to get back into the, you know, world that I was in, like my reputation would be in some way kind of like, oh, it just sort of disappeared. Like there's a certain pace to promotions or there's a pace to the corporate world. And I was really going against that without a really strong like argument that I could articulate at the time for why. So I was pretty fearful about that. I was really clueless about how, like, you know, my superiors would take it. And also just a little bit afraid of, like, just like, who are you if you're not what you do? Was a pretty challenging kind of thing to get my head around. I still think it is. Yeah. It's just like we look for some type of self-definition, or I do anyway. And oftentimes it's just easy to be like, well, I do this, you know, especially like in the States, you know, and then that sort of defines you, or I'm this or I'm that. And once I bailed from the whole career thing and I wasn't some seasoned cool traveler, or all these other cool things or that other people had, I was just kind of like, I don't really know at all what I am. I'm kind of this, just this person in transition or something, you know? That was very fear invoking.
Yeah. No, I think it's true the world over. I think, you know, I wrote this piece, which was about, you know, where we were talking about in search of purpose. And I mentioned there, I said, you know, who are you when we kind of take away the head of division, blah, 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 or the, you know, the assistant to the general, blah, 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 or the, you know, regional head or whatever else, right? In fact, I went a step further and I said, you know, who are you if we take away your, I'm a father, I'm a friend, I'm a, you know, whatever role we cast even in our relationships. And that's like one more step of freaking out altogether as to, yes, I am all of this, but I am something beyond. And I don't know what it is. And, you know, I just, when I was reading the book, I kept thinking, I was admiring you a lot. I was like, wow, he felt the fear, but he did it anyway. So part of it is telling yourself, I am worth the time to explore this line of questioning of who I am beyond my titles and my security and my paycheck. But then there is a whole bunch of other people, right? Your family and friends and your workplace. Yeah. All that. So tell us a little bit about, so like, how welcoming was the rest of your family to this idea of, you know what, I have a job, but I think I'll take a year off.
Yeah, I don't know if any, I mean, some people of my friend group, well, there was a split. So a lot of my friends were excited. That's amazing. But then you wouldn't be like, especially friends in the same city, you wouldn't be much of friends if you left and you didn't leave like a void in their life, right? And like, unless you were just sort of like silent partner type friends, you know, normally you hang out, especially when you're young and not married. So there's like, oh, my friend is leaving me. Like, now I need to fill this void. And I think that was just hard all around. It was hard for me to feel like sort of abandoning things for a year. It felt almost selfish. And like, it is kind of selfish in a way. Like, you build a community of people and like, then you, you know, take off. And yeah, just kind of, just such an interesting and I don't know. I found that part very difficult, oddly difficult to leave my friends, even though they were supportive. I was just like, oh, wow, I'm leaving my community, leaving my people. And not having family in San Francisco at the time, like, is just kind of, it had a bigger impact. My family, on the other hand, I think they were very nervous, but they've always had a certain amount of faith of like, you know, he's going to do what he does. He, like, they didn't have like a lot of anxiety. I mean, they definitely voiced that it seemed like an odd choice, but, and like, how would you get back to work? You know, that kind of stuff came up, but there was a general sense of support. Like, okay, if you feel like that's what you're going to do, then go for it. I think most of the difficulty was more in, for me, kind of like leaving my community. What will that community look like when I come back? Will I have still a sense of home via like everyone that's around me, or like, you know, what'll happen? You know, I think that left me kind of like less than at ease because I value my friends so much. I value my community so much. And that was an interesting and difficult experience just in the beginning to leave that I didn't expect. I didn't think that would come up. I thought I'd be a little cooler, to be honest with you. Like, oh yeah, this is awesome. I'm going to take a year off. Like, I made this decision. It's going to be so fun. And I was just so like uptight about it.
Yeah. No, I can imagine. I can imagine. And you know what I really liked in the book is that I think at every stage, right, from the point of deciding, yes, I want to do it, to convincing people around you, and then finding somewhere you had to convince yourself, not just the people around you. There's so much of second guessing on whether I'm doing the right thing by leaving this job that I have had for the longest time, or you know, it's a stable job. I think it requires like being friends with uncertainty and not knowing the answer and still keep taking the next step, right?
Yeah.
And that's really tough because as human beings, we crave the frameworks, we crave the, especially if you've been in the PowerPoint world, you want, you know, the prediction around what's going to happen when data tells us that when people normally meet up.
Yeah, exactly.
So where did you derive, where was your anchor coming from that, you know, you kept encountering these, the sense of uncertainty and unknowing and yet pushed through it and pushed through it?
I would just sort of feel like it's difficult to align passion and that type of energy to something that you're just not as passionate about or convinced of. And so I either continue to invest in a model that I thought was just flawed and like probably critically flawed, or I take a huge risk to build a model with a certain amount of career left and a lot of experience behind me and education and all this kind of stuff that I had developed, and build a new model that I'm that like it's worth investing in, and that like hopefully I leverage things from what I had before, but that I'd be able to invest in this kind of way of existing and reorganize like what I spend my time and attention on. And in order to do that, I think I needed to do something that felt like it, something that felt like I actually cared. Like, this is something I actually care about. This is something I actually think I want. Even though travel at the time was only like, I only wanted a little. It was just that I wanted it more than anything else. Invest in finding something I want to do or engaging in the world in a way I want to engage in and be proactive versus reactive and all that kind of stuff that comes along with that.
Yeah. You know, there's so many different pieces of it. A lot of it, I think, from what I hear from you, you know, I had once written this thing about you're not born disengaged, right? Nobody's born feeling disengaged with their life. You slowly keep making these compromises over and over again. And one day you wake up and you don't recognize who you are. You don't feel passionate about who you are. And, you know, I have flirted my own share. I didn't take a year off work, you know, anything like that. But I've had my own, you know, flirted my own sense with uncertainty and not knowing, well, what's this going to lead to? For me, one of the things that has been important has been the concept of faith. So in your case, you know, you said the faith in myself that you will eventually figure this out. It will lead to something more rewarding. And in my case, oftentimes, you know, I think I read this quote once, which really spoke to me, which said, you know, when you take that leap of faith, either you will grow a pair of wings on the way down, or you will be given something soft to land on. And I think that belief, right, wherever you want to
add,
a little bit in yourself, a little bit in the universe, a little bit in, you know, this idea that if you were to fall, there's friends and family to catch you. I mean, let's face it, even if you took, let's assume that you lost your job, you're not going to be homeless or anything, right? Most of us, of us are not faced with that, and yet.
Right.
You know, I almost wonder whether it is, based on what you were saying about energy and what you would invest time in, does it need someone to feel like, I am worth taking a chance on? Like, I am worth this time to step away. Do you think there is that piece as well?
I think that you're saying that there's sort of a point where you need to come to a sense of conviction that you as an individual are kind of worth.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I think that was a little like a little devil in the mix, like just around self-identity or whatever terms you want to use, like ego or self-value or all of that was definitely definitely like hard at work, especially in the very beginning, where I didn't really have a developed sense of like that things will be okay, but I logically knew that they would be either way in a sense, like, oh, in this career I don't want to be in, or if I like take off, I'll be able to get back to this career that I don't want. I mean, the whole thing was just kind of like interesting. And then that sense of self to put a level of value to who I am, pros and cons, just kind of like the level set of who I am, and really getting a sense of who that is. So like when you're younger, I think there's sometimes just so much, at least for me, it felt this way. There was just so much potential in different directions. See, this potential was the main word. You know, you're young, like your whole future is ahead of you. As you get into your career longer, there's less potential, more reality. And like, you
escape while you can. I find it much easier to live with failure than regret. So I tried something. Yeah, I failed at it. No, it didn't go according to plan. But I don't have a regret because I honored whatever was the version of me that was seeking that experience or trying to make it happen, however unrealistic it may have sounded to somebody else, you know. So
yeah,
regret is far, far more difficult to live, you know, than failure is what I feel. So okay, so you've been through the whole thing, you talked to friends and family, you've told people at work, now I'm going, and now you take off on this adventure. What was the highest high of this adventure, and what was stuff that you just were not prepared for? Like you were not expecting this to happen. It was kind of like a shock to your system, right? Because we all romanticize this idea of taking the year off.
Yeah.
What could be better than taking a year off? But the reality of it might have been a little bit different, was it?
Yeah. So I'd say I'll start with the low and go high and end on a high note. I think the low was when I first took off, my like dealing with all these things that we've been talking about, like the sense of self and how self-definition, the placing a bet on investing in myself, the idea of like exploring this side of myself that I really haven't, which is what do you want versus kind of like, you better make this happen. You know, that's kind of how I've functioned for a long time. Like you got another task, another metric, whatever it is, like you better make this work. And now all of a sudden it's this like very, you know, ambiguous metric of like, what do you want? And I just like,
yeah.
I just shut down. I think I was looking up like early onset Alzheimer's. I was like, I think my brain is broken. I couldn't remember anything. I was trying to like figure out all the languages. I felt like it was such a strange experience. But I think what it was like I was decompressing. It was just like a real intense time for a long time, just doing and doing and doing and doing.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a reflection of just like how little I was invested in the rest of myself. And once that was my focus, I just wasn't functioning really well. And that's probably how I got where I was in the first place of like not being that like into it, but putting on a really great show, being into it.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people, you know, I posted on social media the other day in a single day, you know, I had to hold space for a friend of mine who was getting a divorce, another one who was having an anxiety attack, you know, the third, something else was going on all in a single day. But if you went to their social media feeds, right, David? There was just no way to tell.
Exactly. Yeah.
People are like so busy portraying, look at me, this is who I am, but that's not who they are. So I think you're quite right. I would think that, you know, there were parts of you that were probably coming online that you hadn't spoken to ever.
Yeah.
And yeah, then now wanted attention, and they wanted to be in the same room as David, the corporate employee. They're like, okay, fine. You've had enough time in the sun. Now it's time for the rest of us.
Right, right. Exactly. I think kind of the high was towards the later part of the trip where I think it's the same as any, if you're on a trip or you're doing anything in life, where it's just, there's sort of things that start to fall together. And I started realizing that like, you know, you can say something like, you know, you're aligned with the universe or something like that. And you want to put it out as this like, you know, soft kind of woo-woo thing. Or like the way that I can sort of think about it is I love cars. So if I get a new car or actually like old cars. So if I get a new old car, I'll see it everywhere, right? Or anyone does. Like, oh, I drive a green Honda Fit. You'll see other green Honda Fits. They all of a sudden are all over the road. And to me, that same type of thing ended up being like what I was interested in, what I was like wanting to see. Because all of a sudden, like my drive was very aligned with myself. And there was just a magnetism about that. And it was almost mystical how doors would open and how things would just kind of happen all over the place. So, you know, people would invite us here, invite us there. Oh, I wanted this to happen. And then it seemed like we were just manifesting things to happen. Just like when you see, you know, green Honda Fit around, you're like, oh yeah, that's the same as my car. Like all of a sudden it's there. You see them everywhere. And you know, there's just as many as there were before you noticed. But like, I felt that way towards the end of our trip. Things would just kind of happen. We'd see people or meet incredible people or have incredible nights. And these things that seemed like we were manifesting them. Even when I came back, I wanted to work for Clif Bar. And I was like, if I'm going to do consumer packaged goods, I think like that would be the company I want to go to. And I didn't even like try to apply. A friend that ended up there was talking to me and it was just like, hey, we need someone. And I started working before I even like got home. And I was super anxious about not finding a job for like a year. And it was like, I was like, how did that happen? And I think there was this kind of, well, kind of going to the like broken model or the working model. Like there was a certain energy around a sincerity of what I wanted. And all your little non-conscious things are all kind of helping you arrange the multitude of details that can end up in random circumstance that ends up maybe not being so random. It was relatively subconsciously organized or whatever you want to call it, you know, but that was the high. I was like, oh my God, things are just in the place for a while. Like it was just amazing.
Yeah. So obviously you were talking about how you were anxious, you would not get this job. And then, you know, things just lined up. And, you know, depending on who's listening to us, they may be a little bit like, how does that happen? And, or they may be like you said, and I believe in synchronicities. I believe in things aligning very much. I mean, you and I went to the same university, at the University of Pittsburgh, and, you know, all the times for us to run into each other when I'm organizing this and then, you know, me finding your book. Just at the right time, not a moment before, not a moment after, just kind of at the right time. So I do believe there is a particular conversation around the, for the lack of a better term, energetics of life. And that applies to careers as well, as when you start following that call, that things start moving and shifting. At the end of the day, I do believe everything is energy. So what's the energy you're bringing to your job, the energy that you're bringing to, you know, any endeavor that you're taking? And then as you give that out, what's the response that you get? I think it's simple physics. But till someone can find a framework and write an article about it in Harvard Business Review, we will have these side conversations where you people will get what we're saying right away, and others might, and I'm not sure what they're talking about. But tell me about this transition back. Were you able to just kind of walk back in and then it's life as usual? Or did you come back in and say,
I lost you.
You know, did you look back and miss parts of, okay, I'm not traveling? What was that re-entry? Was there a re-entry shock when you kind of came back to the workplace and your regular life? You know, you've been walking around in, you know, third world countries where you can't take anything for granted, from fresh water to what have you. And now you're back in San Francisco where everything is happening at the touch of a button. What was that experience like to come back to that life you had got left behind?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, like one of the big things I learned is there's like no sustainable option but to be yourself. And so coming back, jump right into that job, kind of jump right back into things with this sort of buzz of life. What's going on and what's the next thing? What does this all kind of mean? And I think, you know, if I would do it differently, I would have still done the work and everything that sort of, but also just sort of slow down on my expectations of kind of like, what's going to happen, you know, like, and I felt the repercussions of that, where I think I was excited at first. And then I kept this high level of sort of energy of like, oh, wow, this job just sort of like materialized out of like this energy. And then I was looking for like, well, what happened to the energy now? Like, am I not aligned to the universe anymore, or not aligned to whatever the heck I was aligned to?
Yeah.
And in reality, it was just that it's a slower pace. And I actually needed that slower pace to sort of settle into like, okay, so what does like, what did you get out of this experience? And like, what are you thinking? What are you processing? And I think that was, yeah, it was just a slower thing than I wanted it to be. And so I came back kind of full throttle, jumped into the job full throttle, and then all of a sudden got like tired. And I was like, wait a second, you know, this is supposed to be like, I'm supposed to be recharged. Like I just took a year off. And like I was hungry for something that was not, you know, it takes time. It takes time to come home and figure out what you want to do. And like, I need to allow myself that kind of space to be like, okay, you know what? I have this work. I'm going to do that work. And I'm also going to stay very attuned to like whatever it is that I need. But like that machine to just go, 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 go is someone that's very, it's a very important thing for me to turn off.
Really, the executive burnout is a very real conversation.
Yeah.
Executive loneliness is a very real conversation. And, you know, the speed of life in at work especially is ever increasing. Since you're back, what has been your ritual for keeping up with yourself on some of these things? So has it mostly been vacation, or have you started, you know, indulging more in a hobby, or how have you continue to make the commitment to yourself that you started when you took it off? And by the way, before you share that with us, I have to tell people that we haven't spoken about this at all because it needs its whole other episode of this. But David was traveling with his then girlfriend and now wife when all this.
So what I do is it, and I've been generally good, as I have a meditation practice. So some of it is just clearing your mind, like, you know, when you get an app on your phone for silence and all that kind of stuff. And then some of it is just like active inquiry of like what's going on. Sometimes I'll like, and it's much more ordered. So it's actually engaging kind of my mind and then checking that against my gut. So it's turned into kind of more of a, as I continuously seem to go against myself, it's become more of a process of like, okay, how can I not do that? It's a little bit, it's pretty literal. So I will kind of go through ideas or like really just do an assessment of what am I feeling? What am I thinking? And if I'm able to do that, then when something comes up that that only part of me wants to get into, I will get a catch and like not feel good about it, which has been interesting because I then sometimes wish that I had the old ability to ignore it.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about, but you can't, it's not possible. You can't unsee what you have seen. You can't.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
I have. So there is that part of it. So as we kind of bring this conversation to a close, you know, it just sounds to me, you know, even as I read the book, was my sense is that people might have seen it as a year off, but for you, it was really an opportunity where you got a chance to meet yourself and the world in very, very different ways that then allowed you to evolve and bring a whole different dimension of self when you got back into the workplace, which is not what I think like a vacation does. You just literally
totally different.
That uncertainty, that mystery, that frustration, that everything compounded and still walk through it. So did you find that that's kind of been the essence of it? And do you recommend it for people to try?
Yeah, that really is exactly it. I mean, it really was like, could have been called like the first year on. I think it was an opportunity to take a step back and become a lot more sort of real with what I'm up to, who I am, and get into or start investing in a way of doing something that felt more meaningful, that felt like it would have a more genuine impact on whatever that may be. I mean, the funny thing is I'm back in marketing again, which is, you know, like a very similar career to what I had before. It's basically the same thing, but it's in a very different kind of way and a very, very different approach. And it's great. You know, it's interesting. It's pretty much the same career. Take a year off, travel, have a bunch of realizations, go back to the exact same thing. But
it's not because you're not the same.
Not the same thing. Yeah, it is. It's true. It really is just kind of radically different. And I think I wrote the book. I really wanted it just to be like a funny guide and really a guide for other people in their cubicles that are in a very similar situation. And then from a career standpoint, you know, it really was the ticket, I think, for me to have a path to, this was, you know, very, very clear. I want to do this thing and never really had that experience before. And it was definitely because of, you know, this trip. And I've also had interviews that have just kind of gone horribly because of that trip, because I can't really fake it anymore. I just can't really like put on the show where I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just be this other thing. That other thing kind of died along the way. It's just like, and that was the decision, but it's also something that you got to live with. Like, I'm not a like machine anymore. I'm kind of who I am. And, you know, that closes some doors, which is great. But I want, sometimes, you know, you want to, you want that like sense of stability that comes with just putting your head down and plowing through and even if it's on the road to burnout.
Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like there's just so many fabulous intentional and unintentional spillover effects that one just has to experience this for yourself. And I actually have a friend of mine also in the States, and she actually took a year off with her husband and two kids. And I want to say they're like 8 and 13, and we were following their adventures on Facebook, and I hope she'll write a book. We'll probably get her on to talk to the community at some point in time.
Oh yeah, that'd be amazing.
But just even observing them in the act of exploring the world, you know, different continents, and, you know, these two kids having to be homeschooled as they're kind of going through this. I guess what I'm trying to say is that for anyone who's tuned in, because I am pretty sure many people by this point say, oh yeah, well, David did it. I don't know if I can do it. Okay, here's the thing. Permission slip. You can do this. You can totally do this. You must absolutely do this, right? Yeah. And there are models out there. There are models out there of people doing it in slightly early career the way you did it. There are people who have done it, like this friend of mine last year, the whole year with the family out. So somewhere one needs to stop, you know, making excuses, because chances are that, you know, unless you're facing, like, for example, caregiving responsibilities where there just isn't anybody else, right? For a lot of us, I think we are our own barrier to start creating that life that we really want to live. And I was just telling somebody else in an interview that I have started the practice of taking about a week to 10 days off, where if you were to meet me wherever I was, this year I was in Morocco, 1 year I went to Tibet, and I go to these places where normally I wouldn't go with my family. And if you met me there, you would think I'm single, I know I'm not a mom, I don't have a job, is what you would think. It's connecting with that part of myself, which then allows me to sustain 7 other roads when I kind of transition back. So, you know, depending on where our listeners are, whether you're in an early career stage or you're like mid-career, or if you can just get away for 10 days the way I do, I think it's worth making the time, you know, and it's you'll find the return on experience, ROE, not return of equity. Yeah. I know ROE is return of equity. It's so much higher.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I feel like, you know, the thing I struggled with so much going into it was a sense of like selfishness around all of that, or self-obsession, or coming off that way about doing something for me. But in reality, in the end, I feel like, oh no, it was actually very much so an act of responsibility, mm-hmm. that I am responsible for the people around me, for my own life, for how I conduct myself. And if you don't invest in yourself, then you really kind of are a sap. And you kind of draw and I think promote things that maybe if you had a chance to think about it, you probably wouldn't want to promote, like just a sense of being a victim or a sense of unhappiness or complaining or just not showing up and doing a great job. Like, you know, there's just so much of that doing something that seems actually selfish is actually quite the opposite. Like, it really empowers you to show up in life in a way that's generally beneficial. And that's like a win-win. Win-wins are great. Yeah. You know, and so I think about that quite a bit.
Yeah. And so I just want to end with something you said in our conversation that I totally love. I think I'm going to write it somewhere, refer to it often, which is the only sustainable option is to be yourself. I just really love how you phrase it.
I'm glad.
Thank you so much for that, David. Really, really appreciate it. And we'll make sure we put a link to the book so people can actually get a sense of, you know, what that adventure was really like. So thanks for coming for this conversation.
Thank you for the invite. It's been really great. It's really great chatting. Take care.
That concludes this episode of Leaders Upgraded. But wait, your journey is just getting started. Go to www.leadersupgraded.com for more insights, more inspiration, and more tools to continue the journey. And if you have someone who you would like to nominate for the podcast or a particular topic you'd like us to cover, then also visit www.leadersupgraded.com and let us know. If you like this episode, please do share it. Please do subscribe to the podcast. And I look forward to continued upgrades with you. Take care.